Hello everyone, and welcome to Spectra. This is our 10th episode. We are recording in the evening. This is also our first evening recording.
And our first holiday extravaganza.
It's during the holiday season.
Which one, who knows?
The one in winter that's celebrated in the Northern Hemisphere for the shortest day of the year roundabout.
That is tomorrow.
Yeah, and there are different variants of said holidays. But
find your own. Yeah. Do your own thing.
I feel
send
like...
Send in pictures of what you did.
Yeah, this is just window dressing for the most depressing time of the year, personally. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I've heard Paul McCartney four times in one day. That'll be enough to push you over the edge.
Yeah, Cat Stevens as well, Christmas.
Yusuf.
Yeah.
Yusuf Islam.
Yes, Cat Stevens, Yusuf Islam. Even see, Christmas killed him.
Christmas slays, man.
Yeah. We are in this kind of wrap-up mode for the first story of Spectra. And some of us, I don't know if everyone, but I have been going through kind of a marathon listening of all the previous episodes. And it's interesting, of course, to see things a little more disconnected than heat at the moment at the time. And in my mind, I feel like I know what's missing in the story, and hopefully we can resolve it within the next, this episode and maybe another episode of story discussion, and we've discussed options of what to do after that. Because I think we're reaching to a point where we have to make some critical decisions about the story. I want to not do nuts and bolts. I don't want to do logistics anymore. I just want to say, hey guys, this is the story as I understand it.
Talk about merchandising.
T-shirts.
Tis the season.
Merch.
Yeah, absolutely. Lead us.
Okay. Get your Spectra Universe swag.
Yeah. Baseball caps, snazzy stickers. It's all there. No, what's the first story thing you want to get into?
Well, we have a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And a scene breakdown that's pretty been consistent for the last, I'd say four episodes.
Talk to me about the holes.
Yeah, the holes are big, man. The holes are big. No, it's actually like we know the story arc. There is, in a way, two timelines in the beginning that meet at the curry joint. So let me do a scene, listing of the scenes. There is a starting point in Ash's ship. There is also in roughly contiguous time. The Ash's scene ship involves like other characters that are introduced. But in the other timeline, there is a trouble in the Techno Temple, something where Adul gets in trouble for doing something. And these things are in a way happening either at the same time, or one precedes the other in the timeline, whereby higher intelligence talks to Ash about this disturbance, or if they knew it was going to happen ahead of time. This is one of the great ones. The meeting of the two timelines happens in the space curry joint in Gedostan. This is where all the major characters meet each other. Actually, I think all the characters that we've created.
Mm-hmm.
This is when they first meet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the kind of the inciting incident, if we talk in those terms.
Then there
is Morgan and Ash at the curry place trying to pick up
this is a funny overview,
and then finding Dagny in the middle
Then there's the pleasure trip, the big tear through what we used to call Hyper Dubai, which we have to discuss what we're going to rename. After the big party, there is the worst hangover in the multiverse episode, where a lot of like the story is revealed, like Adul's disillusionment from the beginning is doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the bombing scene and the resultant kind of regrouping of the party, as it were. The thing we have to decide about where to start, like if you've you have access to the written materials. There's an earlier script where I wanted to kind of explain the world, either through Ash's eyes. And I guess the first major thing is, do we explain Ash picking up Morgan
mm-hmm.
in the barrier?
I would say no.
I say no. I've actually written that I just wrote for fun a scene of what of how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I quite like the idea of that existing purely in prose as a kind of like deep content thing that can be found that doesn't have to fit into the doesn't have to sort of disrupt the narrative of this the what we will call the story or the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to disrupt that and can actually sit as a kind of different media accessible through the website, accessible in a different way. And it kind of, it's kind of it's a little bit hidden, it's kind of a reward for intrepid
and can be explorers. Taken up again later when we have the episode of Morgan.
Yeah, sort of. Exactly. It could be a flashback. Could
yeah,
be
something like
so,
that.
So Morgan is on the plane, on the ship.
Yeah, because
and
I think
not explained.
It's no, it's not important for the episode.
Right. Too.
So that's always what I have in mind. Is this what we're showing? Is this what we're telling important for this episode?
She's,
no.
She's.
That's why the first encounter should be Morgan and Ash going to look for Otto.
Mm-hmm. And but
we don't need to do flashbacks necessarily
no,
on a character.
Not that
so, and in this purpose, what Morgan's purpose is in for the narrative of this is as people have someone to talk to say where we're going
and
what we're doing
yeah.
and what's going on. So I thought maybe he could have like a kind of cool robot assistant, but actually it's better to not just throw in kind of characters that are just
yeah.
there to.
Mm.
It's a cute kind of rustic sidekick.
For sure.
Yeah, like. And
that's the dynamic at first.
Yeah, at first, yeah.
Okay.
It changes, but that's the
yeah.
yeah. So we start with them on the ship.
Yeah.
And
I also like the kind of it makes it a little more it gives it more makes it more interesting that we don't know where the, how these people have come together and actually they're kind of different and they're sort of he's burning through and he's sort of saying like nah.
But you're doing the fly through explaining the world.
Whatever needs to be done. Whatever needs to be explained.
In the narrative.
But I was thinking, shouldn't we, like, maybe exchange these scenes? Like, first we start with the techno temple explosion thingy.
Exactly.
Yes,
let's fill up the holes. That's the first hole. We still don't know what goes wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think,
I think we start on with Adol. We start on the ground,
yeah.
the dusty ground.
And then we have the explosion, and we have cut, and then we jump into
the
space.
Cut to beep, 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 beep on
the
dashboard version.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Because I think that's a good entrance. There's something happening, there's action, but there's also a bit of world building going on. And then you have when you reach the point where, what happened? Is he all right? Then
yeah.
you have the
yeah.
cut to the other scene where we are on the spaceship. I think that's, in a way, a classic.
Yeah, and it's
but
nice.
Also, it doesn't, like, if you start with a scene where we fly through the solar grazers, yeah, then we start too slow, and
there's too much to
dry, and it's too much information at the start. People need something to hook on, and I think the techno temple scene is better as a hook on point.
Because it can also, I like the idea of it starting very kind of real, and you're in somewhere that it's almost it looks like it could be like an Earth place, but then suddenly it gets a bit more crazy, but you're still okay. You're in this techno temple, but you still know he's a kid, he's a teenager,
like
and he's a, the authority
I
figure, and you
yeah,
know,
like early 20s, late mm-hmm. teens. So okay, the yeah, I guess how do we introduce the techno temple? Is it just him?
He gets up. He goes to work. He goes there. Like we can follow him. Like you know, we're on his shoulder.
Yeah,
we follow him into it.
Because the previous one was following the stuff to where they're processing it. Right, so this is another.
Why don't we go one step before and just introduce some panels where we have the catastrophic risk calculation?
The higher intelligence actually sparks
so
starts the story.
Just some panels where you just see there is a possibility of a catastrophic event about to occur that creates a sense of urgency, and then we continue with that following Adol, because then we already have the. That we already have a hook. What is going to happen?
Okay, I will go with it for the... We see higher intelligence, and we don't know what it is, and it's that kind of prologue feel, and it's just like...
Yeah, we just know something terrible might be happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Which helps us to them.
Let's try it.
So, okay. In higher intelligence quantum world, there is some sense of a disturbance that's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. And it is now conveying the information to Ash.
We just see a mysterious process. And it can even be like... if people listening, is some kind of
technical
4D quantum projector field. And it's just very, it's very dark. And we just see this thing. And then a mysterious voice says, something bad is going to happen.
Just see images and frequencies. Maybe there's an image of a big explosion, but we don't know what it is.
Okay. So the techno temple scene, the way I envision it, is that he is talking to the main religious authority, which we don't have a name for yet, which we can probably and that the picture, there's an image that Ash has prepared that I liked. It's very, in a way, funky. It looks orthodox, long beard, crazy looking eyes, this sort of dynamic, and they must.
That's the techno imam. Mm-hmm.
The techno imam image, and the idea is that there is a conversation that I'll write of them two speaking, where the younger guy, where Abdul is like, "Why aren't we doing things a different way? That we are screwed by this hierarchical system. We're not completely utilizing our resources. That." I think I have the chops to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
This experiment goes badly and somehow threatens the asteroid. Yeah.
I could see even there's a bit, we have a bit where the techno priest kicks back and says, "No, you don't be a fool," and really gets so we see him coming up against, he's got he's really impassioned and he's got, I can help people and this can work. And the techno priest says, "No, you're just a punk kid. What do you know? Get back to your station," and blah, blah, blah. And then, the temple shuts down and he hides away and stays. Or, he sneaks back in at night and he does it.
Is it a MacGuffin or is it a real it?
Because
that's the first hole I see. And I want to plug the holes.
What he does.
What is the argument about?
The idea is that you can get more energy from the stuff.
Okay.
You can get more drive, you can get more whatever. And that this would significantly lessen the stress on the system. Because they're exporting most of their stuff, and they're using a little bit, but they're using it kind of unwisely somehow.
So he wants to modernize stuff.
I like the idea that there's tradition. Yeah, there's tradition and there's rules, and this goes against the tradition.
What does that have to do with contesting the authority of Hyper Dubai?
Because they made the rules.
No, the world system, the world, we discussed the geopolitics of it, is that the world system doesn't want to allow them to have the technology more than they do, because they're worried about, they recovered from a great world war, and they're like, look, this is what works, we're going to keep it this way, these guys are too wild, or too other, or too ignorant to handle the technology. So this is the Hyper Dubai as gatekeeper.
So the techno imam functions then as a gatekeeper of societal order in
the past, this is the discussion. He's like, "Yo, dude, we tried this before. It didn't work well for us. Let's just be thankful for our lot."
Mm.
What I'm curious about is
So then, is it what we have? Is Adel discovering or confirming a way of more efficiently extracting energy from the crystals, approaching the techno imam, and being completely shut down?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then he does it anyway.
We see that Adel is gifted and in his capacity to kind of think and think in ways that nobody else does. He really can see outside the box, for want of a better phrase. But he's continually shut down, and this is the ultimate. This is him trying to go through the system, and the system just smacks him back in the face, and then he's like, "Well, you know what?
I still need something else," because that doesn't made me think that he has to become a mass murderer.
No, but he's not mass murdering at this point. Yeah. He's doing the experiment.
He's doing something that's
risky. Sure, but the discussion has to have some kind of aspect about injustice, because that was one of the first things that
we said. Sure.
So what aspect of the discussion hits on injustice to be able to justify that he goes like, well, if I try to do this scientifically, if I try to change things socially, and none of those paths work, then I'm willing to create this act of violence. So I still don't see, like, you know, the Technically Mom and Adol talking about energy efficiency is not going to make me feel sympathetic for him when he loses it 20 pages after. So we need something that brings it to like a serious human level or of injustice, because it's not there yet. That's still a hole.
I think the visual thing we have to kind of depict is that they're barely keeping it together. You know what I'm saying? This is like kind of not subsistence level, but a slightly better, like Flavella ghetto style, in the way that there's a lot of stress to keep the system up and running. You know what I'm saying? They're not doing an easy job. It's almost like, you know.
So is that what's discussed?
Yeah.
That can be.
And then he's like,
I mean, I think it's easier for them to argue it.
They're working 18 hours a day.
Then
all the time in the ghetto.
It's just a really.
That's good enough. Like, look, we lost a part of the ghetto because we can't keep
it
up.
It broke away and fell into the sun.
We can't keep, you know, the whatever the air recycler. If I can hear something in that conversation that energy efficiency thing with loss of life and injustice, then...
Mm.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Adul does the experiment. It fails. He's on
the experiment at night.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think nothing closes down. I think he just does it in his cubicle kind of in secret. He's like, screw it, I'm doing it anyway. It's kind of like in the light of day, thinking that if he does pull it off, that he will be lauded as a hero. And then he sees it... He sees losing control in front of him, because stress is one of our major themes, that like you see him getting stressed kind of immediately. And he maybe even runs away before it explodes or before it starts doing really crazy shit. And now he's on the run. Dun, 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 on the run.
Now, why would he be in his second workplace serving noodles if he's on the run?
He's no longer working in the noodle joint.
He's not working there. So maybe he's there because a friend there, and his friend's going to try and slip him a passport or whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
And now we have it that Ash and Morgan are also there. It's no longer... See, this is the nice thing about the random thing, was that we could have had this like gentrification conversation about...
What,
like,
random thing?
That they randomly met at the space curry joint. It has to be on purpose?
It has to be on purpose, otherwise it's
Why would they go?
Yeah,
no, because he's there for the kicks.
I think for me, I forget the quote. It's okay to have random things happen for people to get into something, but you can't have random things for them to get out of it.
Mm.
But I still always like things to be bound, you know, to be bound to a purpose. And I like this idea. Of we have the shit goes, oh look, it's going to work, oh fuck, it's not going to work, and he legs it, and we have the boom, and then we cut to the beep 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 beep, so we tie these people together. Mm. So we tie Ashpure to Adul
has a conversation in the space curry joint with a friend about how to get out.
So wait, so let's just do the... Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
So let's do... So now we cut to Ashpure, and it's like beep, beep, beep on the... on his whatever.
Sorry, what is beep, beep, beep?
Beep, beep, beep on the subspace particle...
Translocation device.
Yeah.
because all they got from...
What you talking about, Ash?
Were coordinates of time and space. They don't know what's going to happen today. They only got like be there at that point of time, and that's in the curry joint, and then the brawl happens, and they meet up.
Really, somewhere. Is it that broad? Not go and find this guy because
excuse me,
because he's there.
I think like you said, I think higher intelligence is always pretty zen and pretty kind of abstract, and it's I think higher intelligence finds it kind of quite hard to actually impart the information. into like for flesh minds to understand. You know, there's so much so much data that it always flesh comes off a bit minds, comes off a bit obscure, a bit like, huh? Okay, whose is that?
Okay,
So like the thing, and then so as she was heading to the sector, and then the reading goes, so he knows, okay, it's there.
The coincidence thing, another kind of, for storytelling purposes, that the Dagny's character is the accident, right? Like, but instead of all of them meeting by accident.
Well, if it's vague, if everything was vague, just like go to this place because that's how it, that's key to what's happening, that could explain why Ash and Morgan interfere in the fight.
Because they think it's
and
not.
Then they kind of pick up everybody that's involved in the fight.
That's cool.
There's and that gives a better explanation of why you grab this Viking and this kid and maybe even somebody else.
Yeah. Somebody could get shot.
So he doesn't know it's Ad-Dul.
Red shirt.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, red shirt. It cannot be. It cannot be,
and
for sure.
And this keeps up kind of a mystery.
So then he, I suppose, sees Ad-Dul has got access to the crystal, which is what he wants. So then he goes on and makes out that he knew it was Ad-Dul all the time and gives him the whole chosen one.
Ad-Dul is trying to redeem himself because he's like, I was so close to getting it. Like, you know, when we were doing the thing, he was like 0.5, 0.005 away from actually executing it. And then he tells him that, by the way...
Do we have already an initial incident why the fight starts? Because I thought maybe he was in the space joint. Of course, he was breathing his friend, but also in his mind, we could like visually add some numbers and equations in front of him that he was rethinking the whole formula he did, what went wrong. And in the moment that he has the solution someone bumps into him and everything is like crumbles in front of his mind.
And then he gets angry.
And he gets angry as fuck. And
so, but okay, him hitting a girl is probably...
No, it can be someone else.
Because
no,
the Dagny character.
No, well, remember we had talked about how Dagny maybe the Vikings him. Would have slaves, and I had spoken about like a twist that what the slaves are sought after for their mathematics and astrogation.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the contact that Ad-Dul has is going to get him, let's say, a job, quote unquote, with the Vikings.
That's good.
Oh,
because
that's
he's very
good
at mathematics
good. That's
and
that's good.
Physics.
Dagny is actually going to get him out of the ghetto.
It's pronounced Dorni. Dorni.
Dorni.
Dorni. Sorry, yeah. Dorni. I've only seen it type. Well, no, we've...
There's, the G is different. It's like Dorni.
Dorni. So she... Him, okay, so now she's more kind of in cahoots with him in a way that... Okay, we don't know this at this point, but the way that, like, Ash's character is with Morgan. So, like, this is the...
But that's nice, because that gives her a reason to be there, and so far I've sort of been struggling to find out why. And that, you know, ties... That, again, that okay, that binds them together. So now everybody... You know, I like the idea that everybody wants Ad-Dul.
Yeah.
Everybody wants him. He's on the run,
there,
he's on
because
the...
Because that was another question I had, like, why?
The,
why is this character there?
Another point... That I kind of like just because of like the current climate or whatever, that if someone was hitting on Dani, like we can even, that may be really what sparks the fight. Like some sort of like, no?
I don't know.
I mean, I can imagine her busting somebody's face.
Yeah, but isn't she like, so, I mean, I envision her and what I've seen from the drawings is that if your drawings, whatever, if you see her, how many people would really have the guts to approach her and engage in a manner that she gets angry? I mean,
so
depends on how much alcohol and or substances are involved as well,
or what's considered attractive in this world, right? Is another kind of thing that's up for grabs. But the there's a two illustrations of Dani that are very kind of different. There's like kind of the cutesy one, and then there's the more warrior one from Ash. And to be honest, like it's your character at the end of the day. And how you guys resolve this amongst, in my mind, the way I imagined her was that it's a play on scale.
Mm.
That when she's sitting down, she looks
average,
normal. But when she stands up, you're like, damn, that's a large, you know, person. And it's like, I like the idea of having it more kind of in a scintillating mode than warrior. Like scintillating warrior, but I would put like scintillating before warrior than warrior scintillating. But yeah, that's up to you guys.
I just think that...
I don't think any of these things affect what's her purpose in the story. It should be more...
That's why I thought we have a dual calculating and getting distracted.
I like that, and then I would almost put, like, if someone is... you know, I think the somebody trying to chirps... Sorry, that's UK slang. Someone trying to hit on Dani... could be playing out in the background would actually be a funny, just a nice kind of comedy. And then, you know, then she stands up. So there's some kind of like, you know, some guy who thinks he's the like...
There's no dialogue. You could just see it in the background while he's in the front calculating.
And then it's that sight on him that then she pushes that person and they hit him and he drops the thoughts drop out and then he gets mad and then
Domino effect style. I like that idea. Because if we only had the romantic thing, I think it would be too...
Not romantic.
But yeah, then, you might... Yeah, you know what I mean? Like hitting on someone. I mean, we still try to push new things forward and I think that is something that I have read a lot of times. So the combination of both might be something else.
Because I mean, I also see...
Whereas... Also, maybe that's a moment in the middle of the fight. Adol is going to get punched by Donnie, etc. And his contact tells him, no, that's who you're supposed to meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And when security from Hyper Dubai comes to break up...
Or Ghetto-san. It's the intro police. We talk
I understand we're in Ghetto-san, but the security would be...
The state police. Like the,
from from Hyper Dubai, but patrolling Ghetto-san.
By the way, we discussed them in a previous episode. But I'll get to that point. The idea is that they run away to the ship.
The question is why Zagni have to get on Ashpeel's ship? Is her ship blown up by the people who were chasing Adol? So she grabs him and Ashpeel's like, shit, they've got him, and they run after the ship and then the ship is like
blown up.
It's been out somehow, and Ashpeel's like, come on then.
Exactly.
Well, she could be outnumbered, she could be separated from the rest of the crew. I want something
to blow up.
Well, there could be another one of these either oxygen losses or breaches.
Yeah, that's good. We need to see one of those. Catastrophic breach. We need to see one of those, definitely.
Catastrophic breach.
It shows the state of the world.
And then you just have to go wherever you can go.
Absolutely.
Where following Adol becomes critical.
You can even have Ash at the door being like, hey, it's either us or you're dead.
It would play into his savior shtick, right?
Yeah, genau.
So in the ship, it's almost now going to... Maybe a short scene, I don't know. Like, had they met in the curry joint, then he would have had some understanding that he can take him to Hyper Dubai. So that's the plus of them all meeting in the curry joint and then running to his ship. You see what I'm saying? Instead of like them, we need them to have another scene in the ship.
Well, yeah, I like now we're all in the ship and everyone's shouting at each other, and then it's Morgan who says, look. Come on, be cool. Like, we're alive. Can't you be thankful we're alive and we're free? And then Ashpeel's like, yeah, we are. Now what we need is... I know what we need. We need
a good night out. Yeah.
A good, like, yeah, we need to go to the spa and then to the water slides. And then, you know, we end up with...
And the swings.
Space swings. And then we end up with a cocktail.
So Hyper Dubai... The name changes alternatives. So Hyperabad, the proximity to Hyderabad for me is what makes me feel uncomfortable. It's like kind of picking on a place that has no connection to the ideas that we have. And so I have some names that actually reflect this.
Hit us with the names.
So one is, because it's kind of a harbor, it's kind of a gateway, as it were. Khor is a name... In Persian, for natural harbor, so Hyper Khor is one alternative.
Doesn't sound good.
let's say these things.
Say it three times in a row.
Hyper Khor. But
exactly. We aim to be an all audiences of all ages.
Hyper Khor. Anyway, the other one is Hyper Mina.
Hyper?
Mina. Mina is in Arabic, literally harbor. So okay. Hyper Mina is also another one. And the one that's like sort of, for me, tongue-in-cheek, but for like a general populace, maybe not. Hyper Khalij. Khalij means the Gulf in Arabic. Yeah. So people from the region would be like, ah, they mean the Gulfies.
I like that.
And for the Western audience, cool they're
like, I like the sound in my ear of the last one.
Yeah. Hyper Khalij.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want to make it a little more exotic, Hyper Khalija.
Hyper Khalija, done.
Hyper Khalija.
Yeah, because Hyper Khor is a little bit too tongue-in-cheek for me.
You get it. And also, it's not. I don't really see it as a harbour. If anything, it's like an oasis or something. So yeah, Hyper Khalija is really good.
Hyper Khalija.
Hyper Khalija.
Yeah, yeah.
One more thing. I think we now have just a one scene. More. Just one. Yeah. Just the one. And I think now when we like, let's go there. Woo! And then we're going there, and then we see a scene where he takes Adul aside and says. Now he starts grooming him, basically.
Okay.
Because he needs to have seen somehow that he has access to this knowledge or this crystal or this process that he wants.
And
how will we see that? This happens
in the pleasure.
Okay.
Yeah, this has to like because then you have to do a big thing in the
show. You're right.
And this is our montage where they discuss all these different. Revolutionary, political and economic ideas.
So that's it. The montage technology. And there's all this top level stuff going on, and the whole time we see Ashpur like grooming the boy.
Yeah. Okay.
But then we come to the next morning.
Yeah, yes. No. The details we have to talk about for the pleasure palace. The dialogue I have it kind of in my mind, an idea of some sort of interaction of like pedagogical nature. But the one thing is like describing it as tawdry pleasure versus, you know, like the refinement is only perceived if you come from Gerostan. This is the other thing that maybe aesthetic, you have to think about maybe in the thing. Then I would say the montage would get to a point like, kind of like when you've partied too much and you just pass out. That, you know, it's like something that reaches a, you know, if there was music or something, it would be a very happy. Yeah.
But it could end with the kind of dance, they could end on the dance floor, you know?
Like, yeah. Should... And then it's black. Then the worst hangover in the multiverse in the ship.
Yeah. In the ship. And now I see, now we have a reflection, which is why I like it. If it starts with Adul waking up in his kind of, you know, meager, you know, cubicle in the favela. At the very start of the, you know, the very first scene is that. Now we have a kind of a replay of that in a certain way. But now he's waking up on Ashpur's ship and he's looking around and it's all a bit. He's a bit confused, but we sort of replay this. We're back on him. We're back, you know, purely on him again, on his shoulder, and we see him get up. And we see him kind of look around, and we see like Ashpur's doors open to his like the captain's cabin, and he goes in, and then he looks around. And that's the mask is slipped, and he sees that it's a man underneath a person. And then he sees on the wall the plan for the dilithium space crystal transflux, whatever, that he's going to sell to whoever. And now he sees that it was all about, that's what it was all about, and it was all bullshit.
You can also overhear a conversation.
I'm selling it, yeah.
Yeah, I like, but he could.
Or him
could.
Counting the money, or him.
But I like it to be all be done visually. And Ashpur, what I want is that Ashpur has been done by his own greed, selfishness, confidence, overconfidence, and he consumed too much. He's a waste man. Actually,
he gives it
all this, but actually he's just another.
Yeah,
he's
a waste man. I also prefer that it's not a conversation he's overhearing, just seeing it and putting the things together in his mind, so the reader also can do that, and then confronting him, and then they have this big fight.
Yeah,
fight.
I'm all good with that.
Altercation.
I have a question, however. Do we see anything about HI and the mainframe before?
HI, like I see HI in that opening prologue, which I really like. And it's a real kind of tight. You just see the lights, and you really don't see what's going on.
Are we ever going to see?
Wouldn't he be selling the thing to hyperintelligence?
No, hyperintelligence don't deal with that shit.
To that kind of stuff.
Hyperintelligence, I see, could be is in that very first scene, and then maybe when we cut to Ashpure from the after the explosion. We cut to the first appearance of Ashpure and Morgan. Sorry. The first explosion, which is Adol's experiment gone wrong. Okay. So then the first time we cut to Ashpure, then maybe Hyperintelligence is there.
Telling them something?
Telling them something, yeah.
Telling them where to go?
Telling them where to go. Mm. So we have this repeat of the same light, and it references the same projection that we saw at the beginning, and now we pull out to see that it's a robot being communicated to and it's being communicated.
Okay, yeah, that's what I want. I wanted some kind of continuity, because if not, it's almost at the beginning, and then... All right, so then we have the big reveal.
And Hyperintelligence can be on the ship when they're all there, but I don't see Hyperintelligence at the pleasure dome.
No,
he's not there. No,
not into that.
No. Well, you noted something that I thought was interesting in the character description, so about them using disguises.
At what point?
Hyperintelligence.
To get into hyper.
Could just be there. Not interacting, just
so
like
we could put Hyperintelligence in every scene, a bigger scene in the background somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. In different ways. Something that just
but there's
kind
always
of
one unique, like the red eye or something that
a little detail
reveals
yeah.
it. That I like that one.
Okay. The
just to kind of keep a visual continuity.
There. How does Adul break from Ash's ship? This is the fight. Does he steal one of his, like...
jetpacks.
Yeah, and...
Does he...
space circle, whatever
he convince Donnie that he's going to leave with her? And she takes him back?
That's good.
She calls her crew.
Do much.
She calls her crew. Says, okay, get your things together.
Well, I mean, if they're connected in this master thrall kind of way, they can't be separated. I feel like, so I agree. They have to move together away from the ship, because why would Danny do that? Why would she let him leave?
Yeah, so he says, okay, I'll go with you.
I will go with you. I saw all of this. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm ready to be part of your crew.
Wouldn't Ash be able to say no, because they're in his ship, you know?
But he's well hungover and...
He doesn't care.
He's too hungover and
yeah,
he's like...
He's lost credibility.
And he's like, he's completely like... And it feels really bad because he's not a total...
Yeah.
See...
Yeah, and maybe he feels a bit sick. Maybe he throws off after the other...
But maybe Adul's like put an empty champagne bottle and
knocks
him around the head
it.
With him.
Yeah,
and
yeah, something
does,
like
it
that.
Does, it does fit with his anger management issue.
Mm. Mm. I think so. I think we should...
Impulse control.
I think that would be a good moment.
Okay.
A lashing out against Ash. Mm. Knocks him out, goes to Donnie, says, look,
like,
I'm ready to join
his bag
crew.
With the crystal in it, and it's like, yeah, let's go.
I need my, whatever, my data...
He goes to back to get a stone. That's where he fixes the bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he loses her.
Yeah, that's what my
and then maybe
question
that's
would
when
be. How do Danny and Adul get separated? Because I don't think that she would concur with his bombing plan.
So maybe...
Or with him doing whatever he wants. Now
yeah,
he's...
So maybe
he takes too long and she goes look for him?
Or maybe she's still asleep and stays at the ship and doesn't recognize or know that he left after, like, and then Ash has to wake her up, and that's why she helps them to because Ash knows something bad is going to happen, and that's why she helps Morgan and Adul.
Here's another kind of storytelling trick we can use. So back, remember in the space curry when she had to run away, they somehow disabled her ship.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to use, and she's like, I can't leave my ship. And Ash would be like, hey, I can tow that thing. It's tiny, like this tiny dinghy. So they tow the ship to Hyper Dubai, to Hyper Khalija,
mm-hmm.
and they fix it in Hyper Khalija. It's one of the first, like, when they first get mm-hmm. there, they're like, hey, this guy for repairs, great guy, best body shop in the town, you know. And so now she has her ship back. They're hungover in Ash's ship, but her ship is now ready,
mm-hmm.
ready to go. So they jump in her ship, run away. She's into, like, the black market side. You know, remember her violent tendencies or this sort of thing, but But what Abdul is suggesting is too far. He's saying, like, not only does Ash need to pay, everyone needs to pay. The system is just broken. And if we can
she break... She returns to Ash?
Well, maybe she's the one who warns him that Adul's going to do something.
Yeah.
She lets Ash know.
I like the idea
you've messed up. Look at what you're causing.
So there.
Because I could also imagine so that she would draw the line in the whole violence without honor
thing. Yeah.
If it's just violence, if we're just going to kill each other, you know,
she's against suicide bombing.
Exactly.
So he just jumps off her ship then. How do they get separated? That's still
In Gerostan, I would say. Like she gets to one of the asteroids.
Well, he says, I need to get my... Okay, you want my data, I've got to go get my files.
But I mean, like, if they discuss that, I mean, she wouldn't let him go just after him saying, I want to bomb everything.
This is an intelligence
issue. I don't know if he doesn't necessarily have to tell her about the bombing, but I guess we need to hear him say it, don't we?
Yeah, because the reader has to know, and she has to know to tell it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Ash and
some sneaky way he can slip away, surely.
So what about...
Yeah, that's why I said, is he just jumping off the ship, maybe?
They leave. He says he needs to get his data. She waits for him nearby.
Mm-hmm.
He takes too long. She goes to wherever he lives.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a secret little escape.
And then when she checks it, it's all in disarray. Maybe there's like some device with a screen open showing schematics of what's clearly a bomb. Or a weaponized version of the crystal.
Mm-hmm.
And then she decides, well, I'm not going to solve this on my own.
I need help.
Maybe I should talk to Morgan and Ash.
Yeah, okay.
This guy or this kid seems about to do something stupid.
I like it that she talks to Morgan, not Ash, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing isn't just I like that. I like that. But isn't that too much of a parallel with the discovery of Adul's discovery in Ash's stuff? Someone going in someone else's place, discovering a plan. We have to change one of those.
And he needs, and Adul actually needs the speech. We need to hear the speech of him saying why.
I think so. We need because it has to be a little bit of like people have to understand why he does
it. Yeah, it has to be convincing.
It has to be convincing. That's why what you said in the beginning. Why should he bomb?
So we have to go back to this part. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think. I think Dani and Adul have to have this discussion while they fly away from Ash, and they have this discussion, and he...
Maybe he thinks that she's just a mercenary.
Or maybe he thinks she understands.
Yeah, because you know violence, but you do violence.
Yeah,
right?
you know how it is.
You fight, so when we leave on the crew, can we do one thing here before we leave?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what would that be? I want to get even.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Well, I don't think only Ash has to pay. I think all of them have to pay.
Yeah, like, Hyper Khalija is the problem.
Yeah.
And then that's probably where she goes, like, well...
Like, okay, he went with it at the time and he was raving with it, but the next morning...
It's a love-hate thing.
He's disgusted by it. Like, I can't believe he did it. And, hates himself for... Because I don't like the idea that he's never drunk... Like, he's never... Whatever they drink, cocktails, whatever.
Mm.
He's never, like, had that before.
So
he
feels ashamed a bit.
Yeah, he's ashamed, exactly.
Okay, ending at least putting it at the hangover.
At least we got to pink suicide.
So now we're up
we're
to pink
suicide.
Suicide.
Okay.
And then he jumps, and then Espiel comes back, comes out, saves him, and then we have the reconciliation.
We still have to deal with how does he save him without allowing him to blow up.
He catches him mid fall and
but that's not enough to stop him from not blowing
up. Disarms the bomb.
If there's like a kill switch.
With the bomb disarmer.
The bomb disarmer. Quantum bomb disarmer.
The bomb disarmer spray.
Or no, he just takes the bomb.
Throws it into the sun.
Flings it out to the universe, something.
It's a solar grazer.
Yeah.
Whatever, it's like divine justice.
Well, I think that's a bit of a cheap shot, just to sling it away somewhere.
We can. I like the idea that he doesn't get it, though. That it's disarmed, but it still slips away.
Yeah.
Like, because nobody should get the crystal at the end. Because
that's another crystal, right?
No, I think, I actually like the idea.
If you want to know what crystal it is, what will happen to Ash, and what will happen
to
Adul.
Tune in the next episode of Spectrum.
Perfect timing.